So moving on to our next part of this session, the Bhagavatam class, we are very fortunate to have His Grace Adigadadhar Prabhuji on the call to enlighten us on Srimad Bhagavatam 4.9.6 onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, are you there on the call?
Hare Krishna Lavanya Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. I am here, Mataji, yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for joining and giving your valuable association and time. You can take over the call, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So we are going to study one verse today, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 9, entitled Dhruva Maharaj Returns Home, verse number 6. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Can everyone please mute the phone? Thank you. So Dhruv Maharaj has had Sakshad Darshan of Krishna. He's actually seeing Krishna face to face, and he is beginning to offer prayers. So this is the first prayer that Dhruva Maharaj, in his complete self-realized state, is offering to Krishna, who has appeared before Dhruva Maharaj. So Dhruva Maharaj is saying, Dhruva uvacha yontaha pravishya mamavacha mimam prasuptam sanjeevayat khila shakti dhara swadhamna anyaschahas tacharan shravanatvagadin prananamo bhagavate purushayatubhyam. Dhruva uvacha yonta pravishyamamavacham imam prasuptam sanjeevayat khila shakti dhara swadhamna anyascha hasta charana shravanatvagadin prananamo bhagavate purushayatubhyam. Dhruva uvacha yonta pravishyamamavacham imam prasuktam sanjeevayat khila shakti dhara pra swadhamna anyascha hasta charana shravanatvagadin prananamo bhagavate purushayatubhyam. Synonyms: Dhruva uvacha, Dhruva Maharaj said, Yaha, the Supreme Lord who, antaha, within, pravishya, entering, mama, my, vacham, words, imam, all these, prasuptam, which are all inactive or dead, sanjeevayati, rejuvenates. In Ramayana we have the Sanjeevani herb that Hanumanji brings from the Himalaya, Sanjeevani. So Sanjeevayati rejuvenates Akhila, universal Shakti, energy Dharaha, possessing Swadhamna, by his internal potency Anyancha, other limbs also Hasta, like hands Charana, legs, shravana, ears, tvak, skin, adin, and so on, pranan, life force. Pranavayu, so pranan, life force. Namaha, let me offer my obeisances. Bhagavate, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purushaya, the Supreme Person. Tubhyam, unto you. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Abhay Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. We will read translation. The purport is little long and it is extremely beautiful purport. So we will chant Mangalacharan before the purport, because as we read the purport, we will go on discussing. So that's why we will not get to chant Mangalacharan. So we will chant the Mangalacharan after translation today. So translation of today's verse, the first prayer of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj said, "My dear Lord, you are all powerful. After entering within me, you have enlivened all my sleeping senses, my hands, my legs, my ears, touch sensation, life force, and especially my power of speech. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you." Before we go to the purport, we'll chant Mangalacharan. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radhakanta Namostute. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So in this prayer, Dhruva Maharaj is saying, as we can read in translation, he is glorifying Krishna as all powerful. You are all powerful. And then he's saying, you have enlivened my sleeping senses, all my panchendriyas. And he says, specially my power of speech, my ability to speak, you have enlivened. And therefore, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So there are two things here, two points for discussion. Number one, Dhruv Maharaj was only 5 years old when this Leela took place. Now, Dhruv Maharaj, although just 5 years old, he had a very wonderful samskar and upbringing, because he was the son of Maharaj Uttanapad, who was the king of the whole world, and all the rishis, all the munis, all the great sages, they used to come and visit Maharaj Uttanapad, and Dhruva Maharaj as a child had seen. Also, we must remember, this is Satya Yuga, so people were very advanced, very mature in that age. And Maharaj Uttanapad's spiritual master was none other than Narad Muni. So Dhruv Maharaj had, although he was 5 years old, he was very qualified, but still, being a 5 year old boy, he still, he had not completed Gurukul, he had not completed the study of Sanskrit Vyakaran, grammar, all that was not done yet. So Dhruv Maharaj wanted to offer nice prayers to Krishna. Why? Why Dhruv Maharaj wanted to offer nice prayers to Krishna? Because he loves Krishna. We want to offer something nice only out of love. Otherwise, we give what is required. We just do the needful. We do the bare minimum. It is explained, there are three types of servants. The first category of, and we are all servants. We say, Adi Gadadhar Das, Shama Gauri Devi Dasi, Kaumadaki Dasi. So we are all servants. So we must meditate. What are the types of servants? There are three types of servants. The first category of servant is that servant who is told to do something by the master. He tries, but is not able to do everything that is told. For example, if my spiritual master has told me during initiation, and I have agreed, I have taken this vow, that I will chant minimum 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra every day. I will not eat meat. I will not have illicit sex. I will not have any intoxicants. And I will not engage in gambling. And I will serve in the mission of Srila Prabhupada, which is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, in the mood of the servant, of the servant, of the servant. Now, if I am not able to do services within ISKCON, I am self-centered, I have my own life, I just enjoy with whatever money I earn, I am not contributing, I am not giving my time, my energy in serving the mission of Srila Prabhupada. Or I may say, I am not drinking intoxicants like alcohol or cigarette or wine, but I will have tea. Or, other things. So, or I'm not able to chant 16 rounds. I say, okay, I will chant 13 rounds today. I'm tired now. Anyway, it's not attentive. I'm falling asleep. It's 11 o'clock at night. I will chant 3 extra rounds tomorrow. I'll compensate. So this is the first category of servant. Tries, but is not able to carry out the orders of the spiritual master. Is not able to carry out what the master has ordered. First category of servant. The reason is the seriousness, the commitment, the planning, the dedication is not there. Now, there were 24 hours in the day, na? 24 hours were given. Why 1.5 hours could not be carved out in the beginning for chanting the japa, minimum 16 rounds? That is the question. So that means the dedication, the planning, the commitment was not there. That's why I tried, but it was not a wholehearted attempt, wholehearted try, wholehearted endeavor. Therefore, the servant fell short of carrying out whatever was asked. The second category of servant is one who does what is told. Does what is told. Serious, committed, dedicated, does what is told. However, has other priorities also. So does not go beyond the call of duty. 16 rounds I have promised, no? So I will not chant the 17th round. Oh yeah, I've done. 16 rounds are done. Now I'm free to do whatever I want. I will stay within the boundaries of the four regulative principles. But I will watch a movie, or I will watch cricket match, or I will excessively watch the news. It's required, Prabhu. We have to live in this world, no? We should know what is happening. But that time could have been used reading Bhagavatam. That time could have been used hearing Harikatha. That time could have been spent with the family members in a quality, productive way. So that is the second category. Does what has been told, but not beyond that, not more than that. And the final, the third category, the topmost category of a servant is one who does what has been told plus does more than that. Goes beyond the call of duty. Goes the extra mile. Does something extra without being asked. That is the topmost category of servant. So Prabhupada was told, go and preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. But Prabhupada was not told to have thousands of disciples. Prabhupada was not told to develop farm communities. Prabhupada was not developed to teach Varnashram Dharma, establish Varnashram Dharma. Prabhupada was not told to start Gurukuls. Prabhupada was not told to start Govinda's restaurant so that common people could get Krishna Prasad. Prabhupada was told preach, print books, write books. So he could have just established BBT, but no, he's gone. But Prabhupada went beyond the call of duty. He is the topmost type of servant. Hanumanji is an example. He was told to find Mother Sita. But he not only found Mother Sita, he gave her encouragement, he gave her hope, he gave her the ring of Sri Ram, he gave her the message of Sri Ram. He destroyed the asuras. He tested the strength of Ravan. He gave the message of Lord Ram to Ravan as Ramdut. And he burnt Lanka, destroyed Lanka to invoke fear in the heart of the Rakshasas headed by Ravan. And then came back, hale and hearty. So he went beyond what was asked of him. That is the sign of love. We can be the third category, the topmost category of devotee, only and only if we have love in our heart. Otherwise, we will be type 1 or type 2 types of servants. But to become a type 3 servant, it's a question of love. Dhruva Maharaj could have offered prayers in the language of a 5-year-old boy. But Dhruva Maharaj did not want that. He wanted to give the best to Krishna. He wanted to offer high class prayers to Krishna. Although he didn't have the required grammar, he did not have the required vocabulary, he did not have the required experience, but he wanted to give the best. And Krishna, being Paramatma in the heart of every living entity, he understood this desire of Dhruva Maharaj, that he wants to offer me high class prayers. But he's 5 years old, he's inexperienced. So Lord Krishna touched him on the head with his shankha, with his conch shell. And through that, he gave spiritual enlightenment to Dhruva Maharaj. That is why in this verse, Dhruva Maharaj is saying that all my senses were sleeping, as if dead. But you, your Shakti has entered me. By your Shakti, they have all become enlivened. They have come alive. And especially my power of speech. And therefore now Dhruva Maharaj is going to begin very beautiful prayers. So the first point here is Dhruva Maharaj's desire to offer high class prayers, to offer the best to Krishna. Offer the best to Krishna. Everything we offer to Krishna also, my dear friends, in our day-to-day lives, can be good, better and best. Even the 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra Japa that each of us offers to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga every morning, that can be good, better and best. We have to introspect. Chanting while doing other things, bead bag in one hand, emptying the dishwasher with the other hand, bead bag in one hand, preparing breakfast with the left hand, or sometimes eating while chanting with the left hand. I have seen that also. Just pick up a little snack and start munching on it in the middle of the round. Or bead bag in one hand and phone in the other hand, iPhone in the other hand. Oh, I'm just checking some messages, just knocking out some emails. Or bead bag in one hand and the steering wheel in the other hand, driving while chanting. This is better than, you know, it's good that we are chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. It's better than not chanting at all. Better to chant Hare Krishna when we are distracted than to not chant Hare Krishna at all. So a devotee who is struggling and has bead bag in the right hand and playing with the children with the left hand, this is much better than not chanting at all. But what is better? Better is to understand that I have responsibility of cooking breakfast, I have responsibility of responding to text messages and emails and answering phone calls. I have responsibility of emptying the dishwasher, washing machine, whatever the duties we have. I have all these responsibilities, but my chanting has to be good quality. It has to be exclusive japa. So I am going to wake up a little early. My day starts at 6 o'clock, 6:30. My duties start. I will complete my 16 rounds before that. Then extra rounds I can chant while traveling, I can chant while, you know, I am doing other things, and that is okay. But the 16 rounds should be, it is our personal gift to Guru and Gauranga. It is our daily commitment, it is our promise. So these 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra that we offer to Guru and Gauranga every day, we should try to keep it the best quality. So better would be I will chant early before my duty start. But you know, we are inattentive even during that Brahma Murta. We are planning our day mentally, or we are thinking of something else. We are thinking of, you know, has the paycheck come? It's Friday. I need to check my Bank of America account. You know, all these planning, all I have to pay this bill, I have to do this, I have to go here today. I have to fill out those forms today. The deadline is coming. I have to make that phone call today. So all this planning is going on, and we allow our mind to conveniently drift away, not bringing it back, not bothering to bring it back. You know, although we are doing Brahma Murti Japa, although we are doing exclusive Japa, we are not doing anything else. Not doing anything else with our gross senses. But we are doing something else with the sixth sense, which is the mind. The mind is also Indriya. The mind is also sense. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, what is that verse? Mama evamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manaha shashtani indriyani prakritisthani karshati. The third line is manaha shashtani indriyani. There are six shashtani indriyani. There are six indriya, six senses, which include mana, mind. So we have the sense of, you know, hearing, we have the sense of touch, we have the sense to of speaking, speech, taste, you know, all those things we have, sense of seeing, sensation. But there is a sixth indriya, sixth sense organ also, and that is the mind. It is subtle. Even in Bhagavad Gita, again, Krishna says, among the indriyana manah chasmi, among the indriyas, I am mind. So mind is one of the senses, and it is the most important sense. Because antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram. At the end, we have to remember Krishna at the end of our life. And remembrance does not happen with eyes. Remembrance does not happen with skin. Remembrance does not happen. Remembrance happens with mind. Smaran is a function of the mind. So, mind is the most important of all senses. Ultimately, it is with the mind that we can actively think of Krishna. So externally, our senses are engaged in chanting. We are holding the bead bag, you know, we are in front of Krishna, it's Brahma Murta. We are not doing anything else. But with the mind, we are running here and there. So that is, but that is still better than chanting japa while doing other things like emptying the dishwasher, preparing breakfast, driving, being on the iPhone or smartphone. So there is good, there is better. But what is best? Best is to do exclusive japa during Brahma Murta on the initiation Tulsi Mala in front of Krishna attentively with a prayerful heart. With a prayerful heart. I will share something very personal with all of you. I'm sharing this because I consider all of you very close to my heart. So this Kartik, we just completed the month of Kartik. We all have our Sankhya of Japa that we do. Hopefully it is more than 16 rounds. We should all chant more than 16 rounds. But in Kartik, I decided that I will increase it even more. So I increased the Sankhya to the level where I had never chanted that much. And I said I will sustain this throughout the month of Kartik. And by the mercy of Hari, Guru, and Vaishnavas, I was able to do. But one day, around 10 days ago, we were towards the end of Kartik, last week of Kartik. One day, suddenly in the evening, not evening, suddenly at night, I was doing my remaining quota of japa. A lot of rounds were left, so I was chanting at night. Everybody had slept. And I was chanting my japa. I was a little sleepy, little tired. But suddenly, horrible thoughts started coming in my mind. Horrible thoughts, which never came, you know. Suddenly, this, you know, lust became very strong in my heart. And I was shocked. This is the month of Kartik. I am chanting more than I normally do. I am doing so many things. And, you know, I just did Damodar Ashtakam in the evening. I did Mangal Arati in the morning. I worship the deities today. I am chanting my quota of japa. I have associated with devotees. I'm chanting japa in front of Krishna on my initiation Tulsi Japa Mala, and these thoughts are coming. How horrible, how is this possible? I just sat down, shocked. that Krishna, how is this possible? How is this possible? I was very disappointed. I was very heartbroken, very sad. I completed my japa and I just went off to sleep very depressed that I have no hope. I have no hope that this Maya can attack at any time. I just went to sleep praying to Krishna that Krishna, please, Rakshamam, protect me. And then next day, I had the realization why this is happening to me. What had happened, my... So what had happened, my dear friends, this is my realization, that before Kartik month started, I was doing a particular sankhya and it was in a very prayerful mood. I would say a pre-japa prayer that Krishna, now it is 4:30, I am about to start my japa. As I chant this Hare Krishna Mahamantra, please purify my heart. Please remove lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, false ego. Please purify my existence. Please purify me of all these anarthas. And please give me prema bhakti. Please give me Krishna prema. Please give me Vraja Bhakti. After saying this, I would start Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, you know, start my first round. And then after Japa, I would keep my bead bag in the altar, in the drawer, and offer obeisances and thank Krishna. Krishna, thank you so much for this Brahma Murta Japa. You know, like that. So I was in a prayerful mood. And now what happened in Kartik, I suddenly increased my Sankhya, suddenly increased the quantity of Japa. But that quality of prayerful mood, I neglected. Because I had so much tension of doing this huge quantity of japa, what I would do, I would just walk into the altar, open the drawer, grab my bead bag, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Ram 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 Ram, Hare. I would start chanting japa. Of course, after chanting Prabhupada Pranam Mantra, Panchatattva Mantra, Ramacharya, Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, I would say that and then start Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Ram 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 Ram, Hare. Bahut karna, I have to do, chant too many rounds. So, I would just start. I forgot about the pre-japa prayer. I forgot about the post-japa prayer. I forgot about the prayerful mood that is required during japa. And just quantity conscious. For 20 to 22 days of Kartik, I was quantity conscious. Sankhya puri karni hai. I have to complete the quantity. But I was compromising on quality. I was shocked, my dear friends. I was shocked that after chanting so many rounds, whole day I have been chanting, and these thoughts are coming in my heart. But then, next day I realized that I am not in a prayerful mood. I am compromising on the quality for the quantity. Let me not reduce my quantity, but let me improve my quality. Not that now lusty thoughts are coming, so I am not going to chant these many rounds, I am only going to do what I was doing before. Not like that. Maintain the quantity, but add quality. So I again did my pre-japa prayer. I did post-japa prayer. And I tried to tell my mind with the intelligence that, my dear mind, you have to be in a prayerful mood. Not just attentive. Not just trying to focus on hearing the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. But the heart has to be prayerful. Heart has to be humble. And in a prayerful mood, you chant the japa. And then I could feel the protection. I could feel the protection again. So this is one realization I had in the month of Kartik. That quantity is important. But in spite of doing huge quantity, you can still fall down if the quality is not there. And then I remembered one quote by a disciple of Prabhupada. He says, you can chant 64 rounds for 64 lifetimes. No, you can chant 64 rounds for 64 million lifetimes every day and still remain a neophyte, birth after birth after birth. If you don't actively try to develop humility, Vaishnava etiquettes, and a prayerful heart, if you are mechanically chanting without a prayerful heart. It is like cooking khichdi on a very low gas and keeping the vessel far away from the flame. Externally, if somebody says, yes, what is Adi Gadadhar Prabhu doing? He's cooking khichdi. Arre, but the fire is so low and it is so far away that khichdi is never going to cook. It may take very, very long time. You will die of starvation. But that khichdi will not cook. So when we are prayerful, when we are focusing on the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and you are doing prayerful heart, attentive japa, exclusive japa, then it is like keeping the khichdi on the gas, and the gas on full flame, and the khichdi is actually cooking. That is the key to making spiritual advancement. We have to be full blast, full on, fired up devotees, but with humility. So now let's start with the purport. Srila Prabhupada's beautiful, amazing purport. Prabhuji's and Mataji's, this purport is out of this world. So let us read it. We have only 20 minutes, so we have how many? Four paragraphs. We have four paragraphs and there are lessons to be learned from each paragraph. So we'll go, we'll begin the purport. Gurave Gaurachandraya Radhikaya Tadalaye Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namaha. Dhruva Maharaj could understand very easily the difference between his condition before and after attaining spiritual realization and seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. He could understand that his life force and activities had been sleeping. Unless one comes to the spiritual platform, his bodily limbs, mind and other faculties, other facilities within the body are understood to be sleeping. Unless one is spiritually situated, all his activities are taken as a dead man's activities or ghostly activities. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has composed a song in which he addresses himself, O living entity, get up. How long shall you sleep on the lap of Maya? Now you have the opportunity of possessing a human form of body. Now try to get up and realize yourself. Can anyone tell which bhajan this is? Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that Srila Prabhupada is referring.
Jeeva Jago, the Bole, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna Mataji, very, very good. Jeeva Jago, Gaura Chanda Bole, Kota Nidra Jao Maya, Pishachira Kole. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's beautiful bhajan. His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj has, the Madhav band has come up with a very nice video. I liked it so much. Maharaj sang it so sweetly, with such devotion. Very heart-touching. Everyone should see that video of Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj chanting this Jeeva Jago Bhajan. So, the Vedas also declare, get up, you have the opportunity, the boon of the human form of life. Now realize yourself. Athato Brahma Jigyasa. These are the Vedic injunctions. So from this verse, we can understand, from this paragraph of Srila Prabhupada, we can understand that unless we have woken up to the platform of Krishna consciousness, we are as good as dead. We are as good as dead. All our activities are based on jada gyan, gross knowledge, material platform knowledge. It is all dead. All chemicals, they are all dead. So we are only engrossed in dead matter. But when we wake up to the spiritual reality, then our real life starts. Therefore it is called initiation. Our spiritual life has initiated. It's initiation. So very important. So we have to understand the importance of Krishna consciousness. Second paragraph. Dhruva Maharaj actually experienced that upon enlightenment of his senses on the spiritual platform, he could understand the essence of Vedic instruction, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Person. He is not impersonal. Dhruva Maharaj could immediately understand this fact. He was aware that for a very long time he was practically sleeping, and he felt the impetus to glorify the Lord according to the Vedic conclusion. A mundane person cannot offer any prayer or glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he has no realization of the Vedic conclusion. So this is very important. We have to, so here it is saying that Dhruva Maharaj had the impetus to glorify the Lord. So now we have to do one thing, all of us, we have to look at ourselves internally, introspection. That after coming to Krishna consciousness, how much lust is there in my heart? How much anger is there? How much greed is there? How much pride? How much envy I feel towards other devotees or others? Devotees or those who are not externally devotees, our work colleagues or whatever, neighbors. How much envy do I have? And how much I am identifying with my physical body, false ego. Honest assessment. Just sitting alone. We don't have to talk to anybody. Just honest. Krishna is the witness as Paramatma in our heart. How much lust is there? You see, Prabhupada, it's mentioned in Lilamrit, once he was in America, and he was riding with a cab driver in the early years. And the cab driver looked at him and said, "Oh, you are a monk, you are a holy man." So Prabhupada said, "I am a sannyasi, a Hindu monk." So that the taxi driver said, "Oh," so he had heard of, you know, all these Indian gurus who come and do different miracles. So he said, "Oh, what is your miracle? Is there something extraordinary that you can do?" Now see, Prabhupada, being a perfectly self-realized acharya, he could see the spiritual state of this taxi driver. A perfect devotee, a fully self-realized acharya, by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, just by looking can understand what is the spiritual level of this person. So this taxi driver was an ordinary citizen. He was very lusty. Prabhupada could see that. You know, we all want to enjoy sensual pleasures, the pleasures that our senses give. And it is said that the most powerful type of enjoyment is sexual enjoyment. So Srila Prabhupada could see what platform this taxi driver is speaking from. Prabhupada could see where he is coming from. So Prabhupada gave him an answer which was relatable to him, which was tangible for him, which he could understand. So Prabhupada was asked by this taxi driver, what is something extraordinary that you can do? So Prabhupada told him, "If you put me in a room with naked women, I will not be agitated even to the slightest, minutest degree. I don't have any lust." Now this was shocking for this man. That wow! If Prabhupada would have said, "I chant 64 rounds every day," or, you know, "I have realized what my eternal relationship is with Krishna and Golok Vrindavan," this man could not relate, could not have been able to relate to that kind of statement. But to be in the presence of the opposite sex, to have the full facility of enjoying and not having any desire, not having any agitation, oh, that is something. That is something. Haridas Thakur also. Perfect atmosphere. He was alone in a secluded place. It was a beautiful night. Everything was peaceful. Everything was perfect for enjoying. And a beautiful girl came, prostitute came. Everything was just as if, you know, the mind can tell you, this is all arranged by divine destiny. Krishna wants you to enjoy. But Haridas Thakur had no desire, he had no agitation, nothing. Shivji also, dhir. with his vision, he just burnt Kamdev, that Kamdev which has the whole world going crazy. Shivji had no attraction, made him ananga, without any anga, without any body, just burnt him to ashes. That is a sign of a Mahajan. That is a sign of a Dhira. So we have to look into our heart, how much lust is there, how much anger is there, how much I am greedy, not just for money, but for fame, for Facebook likes, for taliya, claps of devotees, how much, you know, envy, somebody else gets more recognition. Do I become insecure? Do I become envious? Do I become jealous? How proud I am of my, you know, achievements. That, you know, all this, we have to take stock of the situation inside our heart. It is very important for us, for devotees. Very, very important. This honest introspection. And we have to see, you know, where we are after coming to Krishna consciousness. That gives us humility, it gives us a sense of urgency, and it gives us a sense of purpose. Chaitanya Charan Prabhu says, we should not be unconscious in Krishna consciousness. Chaitanya Charan Prabhu is very good at using words. So he says, you should not be unconscious in Krishna consciousness. What does that mean? It means we go on with our activities in Krishna consciousness, but we are not really conscious of what we are doing. I see Kaumatuki Mataji, I offer obeisances, Dandavat Mataji. But really, am I actually thinking that, oh, this is Kaumatuki Mataji. She's such a senior Vaishnavi. She has put in so many years of Krishna consciousness. She so sincerely has developed this taste for hearing Harikatha. She's so glorious. She's inspiring so many devotees by her association. Let me offer my respectful obeisances to her. May some of these qualities of commitment, dedication, humility, simplicity of the heart, eagerness for Harikatha, Harinam, may this trickle down from her holy self into my heart. With this, let me bow down to her. Are we like this? Conscious of what we are doing? Or mechanical? Everybody is watching. I am in front of a senior Vaishnavi. I am required to offer obeisances. Dandavat Mataji. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Dandavat Dandavat. Are we doing Dandavat Dandavat? Or are we actually falling like a humble rod? That please, bless me. May some of your devotional qualities trickle down. May I become purified. Let me offer obeisances to you. So are we are chanting Mangal Arati, are we actually meditating on the 8 verses, what they really mean, what qualities of Gurudev they are describing, and are we connecting it to our Diksha Guru? Or just, Hamsaradava Naralida Loka, Trana, I have to begin my japa, Trana Yaka, Runya, gonna finish before the Brahmamurta end, oh, Brahmamurta is ending in fume. Are we going mechanically? Then we are unconscious in Krishna consciousness. Chaitanya Charan Prabhu says, don't be unconscious in Krishna consciousness. So we have to be conscious of our inner environment. That helps us advance. Third paragraph. When Dhruva Maharaj therefore found this difference within himself, he could immediately understand that it was because of the causeless mercy of the Lord. Prabhupada ki jai. Prabhupada, what purports Prabhupada has written? It's out of this world. It's so deep. So we are talking about taking stock of our internal situation. And we may think that, oh, I was addicted to pornography. But after coming to Krishna consciousness, I have given it up. Wow. Now, one thing is, we can think, I have become so advanced. I have become so pure. Now I am not. You know, I am not. I have controlled my lust. Arre, pehle I used to feel so envious. But now after coming to Krishna consciousness, I don't feel like that. I'm happy. You know, I have become para dukha dukhi, para sukha sukhi. We can think like that. Or previously I used to always meditate on my 401k, on my saving account, how much money I'm covering. I used to always look out for that raise in my job, how much money I have. I was so money minded. But after coming to Krishna consciousness, I'm not that money minded. I have become so renounced. Now I even give charity on Janmashtami to the temple. So either we can think like this and become proud and become proud, or we can take this sentence, the first sentence of the third paragraph of the purport that Srila Prabhupada gives us. See what Prabhupada says. When Dhruva Maharaj therefore found this difference within himself. Now Dhruva Maharaj, he immediately found that all his senses had become purified. He had developed spiritual realization. So when Dhruva Maharaj found this difference within himself, he could immediately understand that it was because of the causeless mercy of the Lord. It is not we who are reducing the lust. It is not we who are kicking out the pride. It is not we who have controlled the envy. It is not we who have overcome our anger. My dear friends, it is mercy of the Lord. And it is causeless mercy of the Lord. It is not that because I chant Brahma Murta Japa, Krishna came and kicked out lust from my heart. It is causeless mercy. Krishna doesn't have to come for your Brahma Murta Japa. Krishna doesn't have to come for your $1,000 donation. Krishna doesn't have to come for the jewelry that you are offering. Radharani is cooking for Krishna. Radharani is making jewelry for Krishna. Radharani is chanting Krishna Nam. Who are we? So it is not just mercy of the Lord, it is causeless mercy of the Lord. Anartha Nivritti we cannot achieve. Anartha Nivritti is bestowed upon us by the mercy of Guru and Gauranga, by the causeless mercy of Guru and Gauranga. There is nothing that we can do to cause them to become merciful to us. Not that we have done this, I have followed Bhishma Panchaka, I have fasted, or I have done Nirjal Ekadashi, so Krishna has to give me. Krishna doesn't have to give anything. Krishna is Swarat, fully indeed. It is causeless mercy. We can try to attract the causeless mercy by humbly serving Guru and Gauranga. Continuing the purport, Dhruva Maharaj offered obeisances to the Lord with great respect and reverence, completely understanding that the Lord's favor was upon him. My dear friends, this is very important. Sankhya purvaka nama gananati bhi kalavasani kritau nidrara viharaka divijatau chatyanta dinau chayau. This is Srinivas Acharya's Shad Goswami Ashtakam, glorifying the six Goswamis. Sankhya purvaka nama. Sankhya means quantity. For us it is like 16 rounds. For Raghunath Das Goswami it was 2 lakh, 128 rounds. So, Sankhya purvaka. So they would do with regulated practice, with a proper regulated quota, they would do 3 things. The six Goswamis would do 3 things, Sankhya purvak, means regulated proper quantity wise. Sankhya purvak naam. Naam means japa, Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Their japa was Sankhya purvak, fixed quantity. They would not budge from that. Prabhupada has given us minimum 16. But Prabhupada wanted 64. But minimum 16. Like that. So we fix up a Sankhya, hopefully more than 16, maybe 18, maybe 20, and we stick to it. We stick to it. Come what may. This is my minimum. And so Sankhya purvaka naam gana. Gana means to sing different prayers. Like Raghunath Bhatt Goswami would sing Srimad Bhagavatam. Like that. So singing the prayers of the acharyas, previous acharyas. Singing the prayers from the scriptures. Gajendra Moksha Stuti, Bhishma Stuti. All these prayers you can sing. Kunti Maharani's prayers. Singing Gopi Geet. All these prayers we can sing. That is Gana. To sing the different prayers. That also has to be Sankhya Purvak. Like if we decide that this Guru Ashtakam, the Samsara Dhamma Mangalarti prayer, every day I will chant. So then, before beginning our Japa in Brahma Murda, we must do that. That is our Sankhya. In Kartik, we say, this Damodar Ashtakam, I am going to chant every day. So we have to do that every day. That is Sankhya Purvak, regulated, proper quantity. We have to fix, okay, this prayer I am going to chant every day. Gopi Gita I am going to chant every day. So, you know, we fix up our favorite prayers. Shad Goswami Ashtakam, I am going to chant every day. And then you stick to that. That is Gana. Sankhya Purvaka Nama, Japa, Gana, your Vandana, the prayers. And Natibhi, Natidya means to offer obeisances. We have to be committed in that. That every day, whatever, you know, three times I will offer obeisances in front of my altar. I will offer three obeisances every day to Guru and Gauranga. So even obeisances, we have to be, it's very important. So here it is said that he offered obeisances to the Lord with great respect and reverence. Even in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Man mana bhavan bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Mam namaskuru, Krishna is saying. Do namaskar to me. Offer obeisances to me. So offering obeisances is also part of our sadhana bhakti. So we have to be conscious of this. Every time we come from outside, we go shopping, we come back with the grocery bags, we must go and meet the owner of the house. Go in front of Krishna, offer obeisances. Every time we come from outside, go and give darshan to Krishna. You have to give him account that I went shopping, I just came back, I'm back to you now. I'm back in your service. Then Lord Prana. Greet Krishna every time you come from outside. He is the boss of the house. You know, if there is somebody most respectable in the house, you know how that when the children come home from playing, they give a report to the mom and dad. Dad, I'm back. Mom, I came back. So similarly, when we come from outside, we have Gauranitaya at home, we have Jagannath Balla Subhadra, Radha Krishna at home, we have Shaligram Shila, go. We have Giriraj, go. Offer obeisances every time you come from outside. When you wake up in the morning, before beginning japa, go. Offer obeisances. Before Bhagavatam class, take permission. Now I'm going to hear Bhagavatam. Please bless me. May your message penetrate my heart. So these obeisances, multiple times you should offer obeisances. Mam namaskuru. Amazing, amazing. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. This spiritual enlivenment of Dhruva Maharaja's senses and mind was due to the action of the internal potency of the Lord. This is so amazing. Prabhupada says, what is that bhajan that Srila Prabhupada wrote? Krishna taba punya habe bhai. Ei punya koribe jabe radharani sukhi habe. Dhruva ati boli to matai. Our beloved Srila Prabhupada in this bhajan, Krishna tabe punya habe bhai, he says that Krishna taba punya habe bhai, that oh my brother, Krishna will be pleased upon you and he will shower all perfection upon you. When? Ehi punya koribe jabe? Radharani sukhi habe. When Radharani is pleased with you. Internal potency of the Lord. Prabhupada says, this spiritual enlivenment of Dhruva Maharaja's senses and mind was due to the action of the internal potency of the Lord, the Ladini Shakti, Srimati Radharani. Ehi punya koribe jabe, Radharani sukhi habe, Dhruva ati boli to matai. Coincidentally, Prabhupada used the word Dhruva. Here Dhruva means certainly. Dhruva ni tirma tirmama. In last verse of Bhagavad Gita also, Sanjay says, Dhruva. Dhruva means certainly. Dhruva also means certainly. So Prabhupada says, Dhruva ati boli to matai. That I am telling you this with full confidence. Prabhupada is saying, I am telling you full confidence. Certainly, this is the truth. That you will, your life will become perfect only when Radharani sukhi habe. Only when Radharani becomes pleased with you and showers her mercy on you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. See, Srila Prabhupada's bhajan, the two bhajans he wrote, they are so much in sync with the Tattva Siddhanta. So much in sync, so compatible with the eternal spiritual truths. It looks like a simple Bengali bhajan, but it has got deep philosophical points in it. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. In this verse, therefore, the word swadhamna means by spiritual energy. Spiritual enlightenment is possible by the mercy of the spiritual energy of the Lord. The chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is first addressed to the spiritual energy of the Lord. Hare. Prabhupada saying that Radharani's name comes first in our Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This spiritual energy acts when a living entity fully surrenders and accepts his position as an eternal servitor. When a person places himself at the disposal or order of the Supreme Lord, that is called Sevan Mukha. At that time, the spiritual energy gradually reveals the Lord to him. So wonderful. So we have to engage ourselves as a menial servant of the Lord. And then Radharani's mercy will come. So we have to glorify the Lord. But Dhruv Maharaj found himself incapable of glorifying. So he depended on the mercy of his Guru Narad Muni and Krishna's grace. And then he is glorifying. So Prabhupada says that it is not possible for a conditioned soul to glorify the Lord. It is not possible for a conditioned soul to properly glorify the Lord. So how do we offer prayers to the Lord? We can offer prayers to the Lord by repeating the prayers of the previous acharyas. That is called Vandanam. Just repeating the prayers of previous acharyas. So now, for example, we tell somebody that, "Are, in Kartik you are chanting Damodarashtakam, but do you really understand the meaning of each and every word of Damodarashtakam?" Now we have heard the English translation, overall we know the theme of Damodarashtakam, but do you actually know the meaning properly of each and every word? So many devotees in ISKCON may reply, "No, I don't know the word to word, it's not memorized. A lot of words that I say, I may not be able to understand them." But, my dear friends, don't be disheartened. Srila Prabhupada has given us this process. We chant Damodarashtakam. It is good if we understand the meaning. We should try to understand the meaning. That's why Prabhupada gave us translations, purport, so we can understand. He gave us word-to-word synonyms, so we can understand. But even if we don't understand, and just like parrots, we are speaking these prayers. Now we want to, it's Radhashtami, you know, we want to offer Gopi Geet to our Radha and Krishna. We sit in front and we just read the verses of Gopi Geet for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. We may not understand the meaning. We may not have read the meaning. But we should not feel discouraged. We decided, okay, I am going to chant Gajendra Moksha, Gajendra prayers I am going to chant. We may not know, as we chant, we may not know the meaning. Don't be disheartened. You know why? Because you are reading Sanskrit and Bengali prayers. All the meanings are there in English. You should know the meanings, but even if you don't know the meaning, you should still recite the prayers. You know why? Because Guru and Krishna know Sanskrit. Prabhupada knows Sanskrit. Prabhupada knows Bengali. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knows Sanskrit. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knows Bengali. Krishna knows. So you may not understand, but Guru and Gauranga understand the prayer that you are reciting. You may not understand the meaning of Tulsi Arati, but Tulsi Maharani understands. She is enjoying that prayer you are chanting, which was given to you by Prabhupada, which was composed by Krishna Das, the devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, yes, we should try to know the meaning, but even if we don't know, we should happily chant all these beautiful Ashtakams prayers, Vandanam, because Guru and Gauranga know. They understand Sanskrit, they understand Bengali, they understand our heart. They know, so we should keep chanting. Similarly, Prabhupada talks about Hare Krishna Mahamantra in this verse. My dear friends, we must catch hold of this Hare Krishna Mahamantra. We must have full faith in the 16-word Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We should grab this Hare Krishna Mahamantra, because it is this Hare Krishna Mahamantra that we have received from Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Maharaj. We should take this Hare Krishna Mahamantra with full faith. Even if we lose everything, with full faith, we should grab on to this Hare Krishna Mahamantra, completely convinced that it is this Hare Krishna Mahamantra that is going to give me spiritual realization, that is going to give me Krishna, that is going to give me all spiritual perfection. And with full faith, we should paint our whole life, paint our whole consciousness with the color of this Hare Krishna Mahamantra. When we are standing in a line, when we are driving, when we are waiting for something, we are walking from the car to the shopping mall, walking from the car to the office, wherever we are, while doing japa, while offering, while Krishna is eating, while we are waiting, while we are cooking, all the time we should be
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. This Hare Krishna Mahamantra is all we have. We must have complete faith in this Hare Krishna Mahamantra and Kirtaniya Sadahari. With a prayerful heart, with humility, we should keep chanting this Hare Krishna Mahamantra always. Last paragraph. Without revelation by the spiritual energy, one is unable to offer prayers glorifying the Lord. Any amount of philosophical speculation or poetic expression by mundane persons is still considered to be the action and reaction of material energy. When one is actually enlivened by the spiritual energy, all his senses become purified and he engages only in the service of the Lord. At that time, his hands, legs, ears, tongue, mind, genitals, everything engage in the service of the Lord. Such an enlightened devotee no longer has any material activities, nor has he any interest in being materially engaged. This process of purifying the senses and engaging them in the service of the Lord is known as bhakti or a devotional service. In the first line, Prabhupada says, without revelation by the spiritual energy, one is unable to offer prayers glorifying the Lord. So in our conditioned state, we really cannot glorify the Lord properly. We cannot compose proper vandanam. So therefore, we humbly, obediently repeat the prayers that we have received from our Guru Gan. And that is the Vaishnava songbook. That is Bhagavatam prayers. That is Chaitanya Charitamrita prayers. Bhagavad Gita prayers. So we just repeat these verses. Because we cannot glorify properly, but other devotees, our acharyas, have glorified perfectly. They have pleased Krishna with their prayers, so we repeat their prayers. And Krishna understands those prayers. Krishna loves those prayers. Now, we'll read this sentence again. And my question is, one of you has to unmute and tell me which verse Srila Prabhupada is referring to. Which verse Srila Prabhupada is referring to in this English sentence? This process of purifying the senses and engaging the senses in the service of the Lord is known as bhakti or devotional service.
Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam.
Very good, very good. So this is from Narad, Bhakti Sutra, Narad Panchayata. Narad Muni gives definition of Shuddha Bhakti, pure devotional service. He says, Sarvopadhi Vinirmukta Tatparatvena Nirmalam Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate. Sarva Upadhi Vinirmuktam. Give up all Upadhis, all titles, designations. And I am this, I am that, I am this leader, that leader. Give up all designations. I am initiated, I am second initiated, I am, you know, sannyasi, brahmachari, grahastha, leader, bhakti rishi leader. Give up all designations. All Upadhis are all Upadhis. Give up all Upadhis. Sarvopadhi vinirmukta. Sarva upadhi vinirmuktam. Become free from all these upadhis. Tatparatvena nirmalam. And remove all mal, all contamination from your heart. And rishikena rishikesha sevanam. With your rishika, with your senses, you sevanam. You serve who? Rishikesh. The isha of the rishika. The lord of the senses. The master of the senses. Bhakti ruchyate. This is called bhakti. So this is the definition of Shuddha Bhakti. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. Very good, Mataji. Last couple of sentences and then we'll conclude. In the beginning, oh, this is very sweet. Listen carefully. Prabhupada says at the end of the purport, in the beginning, the senses are engaged by the direction of the spiritual master and Shastra. And after spiritual realization, when the same senses are purified, the engagement continues. The difference is that in the beginning, the senses are engaged in a mechanical way. But after realization, they are engaged in spiritual understanding. Hari Bol. How sweet. Prabhupada is saying that initially our sadhana is mechanical. So if you think that your sadhana, devotional practices, your japa, your kirtan, your deity worship is mechanical. While leading kirtan, you are always conscious, am I singing melodiously Are the devotees liking it? Is everybody singing? Or are the devotees getting restless as I lead kirtan? Are they getting up and going? Will my kirtan be appreciated? While leading kirtan, all these thoughts are coming. We should be singing for the pleasure of Krishna, but all these thoughts are coming. Means we are doing it for fame, prestige. We are doing it mechanically. But don't be disheartened. Prabhupada says, initially our sadhana is mechanical. But once we are self-realized, it becomes raga bhakti. It is with taste. It is with realization. Then we are serving Krishna with full knowledge of our eternal relationship with Him. That is the state, my dear friends on this Bhakti Sangha telephone conference call. My dear friends, that is the state that we are desperate for. That is the state that we aspire for. To serve Krishna with full understanding of our eternal spiritual relationship with Him. That is called self-realization. Atma Sakshatkar. And Srila Prabhupada is a completely self-realized, perfect Acharya. Clearly Prabhupada says, the difference is that in the beginning the senses are engaged in a mechanical way, but after self-realization they are engaged with spiritual understanding. So when you read Narottama Thakur's prayers, his bhajans, especially that bhajan where, you know, which is Radha Krishna Prana Mora Yugala Kishore. In that he, Narottama Thakur actually describes how he is going to serve Yugala Kishore, how he is going to serve Radha and Krishna. I will do this, I will take sandalwood pulp mixed with camphor, I will take chamar, you know, all these things is describing. This is his Siddha Swarup. He is actually entering the eternal Leela in his Siddha Swarup, in his spiritual body, and performing the services, and then he comes out of his Samadhi and writes these bhajans for us. So we can get a glimpse of what is going on in Goloka Vrindavan. So this is the state that we hanker for. And it should make us humble that we are still on a mechanical stage. See, sadhana bhakti has got Vaidhi bhakti, which is what Prabhupada is saying here. It is based on what the spiritual master has said and the Shastra. And after realization, this practice continues, Prabhupada says. So the activity will continue even after we are self-realized. That same Hare Krishna Mahamantra will chant. Same bhoga will offer. But the consciousness will be different. It will be with full spiritual understanding. That is the difference. Full spiritual understanding. So that is a state of perfection. So we'll conclude with a simple example. To offer bhoga to Krishna with a tulsi leaf on it, because Krishna will not accept if we don't put a tulsi leaf. That is called Vaidhi Bhakti. So there is Vaidhi Bhakti, there is Raganuga Bhakti, and there is Ragatmika Bhakti, my dear friends. Vaidhi Bhakti and Raganuga Bhakti come under Sadhana Bhakti. And Ragatmika Bhakti is beyond Sadhana Bhakti. It is the purely perfected state. So when we offer bhoga to Krishna, to put a tulsi leaf on it and offer it, and then start our prayers of offering by keeping tulsi leaf, knowing that if I don't keep a tulsi leaf on the bhoga, Krishna will not accept it. That is called Vaidhi Bhakti. Very good. Vaidhi Bhakti is good. Very good. Beyond Vaidhi Bhakti is to keep tulsi leaf on the bhoga offering because Krishna loves tulsi. Because Tulsi Maharani is a great devotee of Krishna. Because she will make everything perfect for Krishna. Because Krishna loves Tulsi Maharani, because Krishna will be happy, that's why keeping tulsi leaves on the bhoga, which we have cooked, thinking what will Krishna like to eat today. That is Raganuga Bhakti. I repeat, to cook bhoga, because we are hungry, it is almost 12 o'clock and everybody is hungry, so we need something to eat. So let us cook. We cook for ourselves and we offer it to Krishna to get it purified. We have to eat Prasad Baba, so we have to offer it to Krishna. But Krishna will not eat unless there is tulsi leaf. So put a tulsi leaf. We have cooked for ourselves actually, because we are hungry. We are putting a tulsi leaf because Krishna will not eat. if there is no tulsi leaf. And my spiritual master has said I have to eat prasad. So to make it into prasad, I have to, and because I'm hungry, I have to eat. But I can eat only prasad. And to make it prasad, I have to put tulsi leaf. So put a tulsi leaf, keep it in front of Krishna and offer. Ringing the bell, chanting the mantras that Guru Maharaj has given. This is Vaidhi Bhakti. This is good. Second stage is Raganuga Bhakti. Raganuga Bhakti means cooking what Krishna will like. What will Krishna like to eat today? I will make that. I will put little extra ghee because Krishna likes ghee. To cook in a way that Krishna will like and to put tulsi leaf on it because Krishna loves Tulsi Maharani, it will make Krishna happy. That is Raganuga Bhakti. And Ragatmika Bhakti is when we are completely self-realized. We have realized our eternal relationship with Krishna. And to feed Krishna without keeping a tulsi leaf on the offering, to feed Krishna because we love Krishna and Krishna is hungry, to feed Krishna without tulsi leaf because we forgot to put tulsi leaf in our haste to feed that hungry boy, Krishna. That is Ragatmika Bhakti. In Ragatmika Bhakti, Ragatmika Bhakta are the Nitya Siddha Bhaktas. They may forget to put tulsi leaf in their great excitement. Are Lala ko bhook lagi hai. Let me feed him. Krishna is hungry. They just go and feed. Yashoda Mai never puts a tulsi leaf. The gopis of Vrindavan who are churning the butter and Krishna is eating that butter, they don't put tulsi leaf on that. Why? Because they are Ragatmik Bhaktas. They are completely absorbed. They don't even offer Krishna. Krishna comes and steals. Shuklambar Brahmachari did not offer the chip rice. Sudama Vipra did not offer the chip rice. Kolavita Shudra did not offer water from his battered metal pot. But Krishna still ate. Krishna still ate. That is Ragatmika Bhakti. It is beyond Vaidhi Bhakti, beyond Raganuga Bhakti. It is Ragatmika Bhakti. There you don't even have to offer. Krishna hungrily comes and robs you of your offering. So that is our highest aspiration, that someday we are able to offer Krishna with such deep love. And Krishna is hungry and eager to eat. Eager to eat. So these are some of the thoughts on this verse. Thank you so much for your patient hearing, patient listening. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Dhruva Maharaj ki jai, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupad ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol. It is 8:40. So does anybody have any question or comment? We'll try to conclude in the next 5 minutes. So by 8:45, we can end the call.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for all the beautiful points that you made during the class. I do have a question, which is which refers to when you were saying that, you know, if we recite prayers and we don't know the meaning, don't worry, because you know, Krishna knows the meaning, Prabhupada knows the meaning, like this. Of course, you are also encouraging us to understand the meaning. But I was wondering how much value our recitation of these prayers have for Krishna Guru. Because to me, it seems as though an analogy that I would offer is, you know, let's say I buy a greeting card for somebody and I don't really even bother to read the words, you know. Maybe I just go by the pretty picture on the cover and then I give it to the person for this special occasion. So, you know, it seems like reciting a prayer without knowing the words or something like that, you know, you're offering it to somebody without even knowing what you're offering. And if I, as the recipient, know that you didn't even read the card before you gave it to me, I know if I'm in that situation, if I know that somebody bought me a card and gave it to me, and they didn't even bother to read the words, I would have almost no use for that card, you know, no value. So I'm trying to understand how Krishna really appreciates our recitation of these verses when we don't bother to understand them.
Hare Krishna. Gaurangi Mataji, right?
Yes.
My humble obeisances to you, Mataji. Now imagine a situation. Imagine a situation.
Mm-hmm.
You are a 35-year-old mother, and you have a 4-year-old daughter, and this daughter is still in pre-K, doesn't know how to read, but she sees a card that is lying around in the house. She picks up that card, a birthday card, and it's your birthday. And with love, with sincerity, with excitement, your 4-year-old daughter holding that birthday greeting card, which she cannot read, which she doesn't know what is written on it, she comes and with love gives you, Mama, happy birthday. She loves you and you love her.
Mm-hmm.
Will you not accept it?
Oh, of course. Of course.
Krishna loves us. Krishna mm-hmm. loves us. And if we chant these prayers, if we chant, for example, Damodarashtakam, with the understanding that this is a great prayer composed by Satyavrat Muni, spoken to Narad Muni, it is glorifying Lord Damodar, it is glorifying the Damodar Leela. But the exact words we may not understand. We may not understand each and every word because we don't have access to the word to word, or for whatever reason we have forgotten the translation. But still, with that understanding that I am glorifying Lord Damodar, I am glorifying Lord Damodar by simply repeating the words of the previous acharyas, Krishna will definitely accept. Even in the great prayers, it is said, for example, in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's Vrindashtakam, it is said, Vrindashtakam yaha shrunayat pathetva vrindavanadhishapadabjabhringa saprema vrindavananityavasam tatprema sevam labhate kritartha. That this Vrindashtakam prayer, which are 8 verses in Sanskrit glorifying Vrinda Devi, Vrindashtakam yaha shrunayat pathetva. Anyone who hears this Vrindashtakam or reads it, recites it, that person will get eternal residence in Vrindavan by the mercy of Vrinda Devi. This Vrindashtakam is so dear to Vrinda Devi, who is the superintending deity of Vrindavan. So it says, Shrunayat Pathetva. Whether you hear it or whether you pathet, means you read it. It doesn't say anything about, you know, you have to hear it with full realization of the meaning, or you have to read it with full understanding of the meaning. It's always best to do it with full understanding. But even if you don't do it with full Sanskrit grammatical understanding, just by repeating the words of the scriptures, Krishna becomes pleased with us. Because Krishna loves all these prayers. I'll give you another example from Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Sri Rangam, there was that devotee who could not read Bhagavad Gita. He would make all sorts of mistakes. But because he was ordered by his spiritual master to read Bhagavad Gita, that was the sadhana, that was the prescription he was given by his spiritual master. So he was reading Bhagavad Gita, and all the very learned, erudite Sanskrit scholars living in Sri Rangam used to make fun of this fellow. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not care about all the erudite scholars and their recitation of different Sanskrit mantras with perfect meter and pronunciation and rhythm, but Mahaprabhu went, picked up this apparently uneducated fellow and embraced him and said, "You have understood the real meaning of Bhagavad Gita." Is it not? So that person was not understanding what he was reading. He knew the South Indian language. He did not know Sanskrit. But he was reading somehow Bhagavad Gita with all wrong pronunciation. But Mahaprabhu accepted, accepted his prayers, accepted his bhajan. So this is another praman, another evidence from the scripture. Like that, Mataji. So best is to chant them with full understanding. And you know, Prabhupada has given us all translations of all the important Vaishnava songs. So we should do it with understanding the meaning. But sometimes we may have forgotten. We may have read the meaning in the past, we may have forgotten. But still we should understand that this is a great prayer written by great Acharya and I am simply repeating. And Krishna is understanding and Krishna is relishing. Krishna is relishing. So we should do that with that attitude. If we do, then Krishna will certainly accept it. Just like you would accept the card from your daughter who is giving it without knowing what is written but with love to please you. Knowing that you can read, Mama can read, Mama reads me bedtime stories, so she can read this card. Mama knows. Similarly, Krishna knows what you are reading. Does that help, Mataji?
Very much. Thank you so much.
Dasosmi. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Right.
Hare Krishna Ji. Thank you very much. Very nice. Very nice realization. And also explanation of the realization. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. This is Komodaki Dasi.
Hare Krishna Komodaki Mataji. Your eagerness to hear, somehow because of your eagerness to hear, I get some empowerment to speak. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
There are so many devotees who are eager to hear. Thank you. I'm just a little insignificant. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Very, very, very ecstatic class. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for the wonderful discussion also. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasini, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Prabhu. It's like you are explaining whole verse, how Guru Maharaj got the enlightenment, how he get the spiritual senses like that. Your class gave some kind of sense, Prabhu, how we can realize that we can, our spiritual sense is developing. Prabhu, I have one question. I regard, in the beginning you were telling, when you were trying to increase your round, and then but you could not maintain your quality. Now, how we can balance that? Sometimes we try to do devotional service little more and that things is happen. Yeah, how your example was so nice means how we can balance when we increase our devotional service and how we can balance the quantity and quality, Prabhu?
Hare Krishna. Anjana Gopika Mataji?
Yes,
Anjana Gopika Mataji. Yes, thank you. Hare Krishna. So Mataji, we should have a greed to increase the quantity of our sadhana. For example, I read that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only eats bhoga cooked by a lakshapati, someone who is chanting 1 lakh names. And then also Prabhupada wanted us to chant 64 rounds. Which is 1 lakh. Actually, 58 rounds is 1 lakh. But sometimes, you know, we are inattentive. You know, it's mechanical. So 6 extra rounds. So 64 is the usual standard that Prabhupada also initially wanted. But that time, devotees were very busy establishing temples, distributing books, making life members. There's so much work to be done and so few devotees. So 64 rounds takes, for me, it takes 5 hours, Mataji. which earned 64 rounds. So 5 hours, you know, is a long time every day. So much services was required. And for most devotees, it will take 6 hours, 7 hours. So Prabhupada said minimum 16. But before that, he said 32. So Prabhupada wanted 64. So, you know, when we read all these things, you know, then we realize that I'm not doing services like Prabhupada's disciples were doing in the 1970s. You know, now the temples are established. You know, I chant 16 rounds and then, you know, I do other nonsense. So might as well increase my quantity. So so being inspired by all these things, you know, you develop a greed. And then somehow I heard that, this topic will go on. There is so much to say. Maybe next time we can discuss this more in detail. But I will just conclude by saying, because if I get into this, Mataji, it will be, you know, half an hour discussion. So, suffice it to say that we should have a greed of increasing our quantity, because it is by increasing our bhajan that we get spiritual realization, not by remaining stagnant. And at the same time, we should also have greed for maintaining the quality. Both are very important, very, very important. And in the example that I gave, I personally experienced this in a very gross way. So we should have a hunger for quantity, but we should also have a hunger for quality. And you have to look at your own schedule and see how many hours you can put in. For me, it takes 1 hour for Shaligram Seva every day. And then 5 hours means it is 6 hours of bhajan. So, and then I have to prepare for classes. I have to do my reading also. Then, you know, interacting with devotees. And then two children, work. And there are only 24 hours in a day. So we have to take an honest stock of our personal schedule situation. And then carve out the number of hours that we can dedicate for japa. That I can do japa for 3 hours. Or I can do japa for 2.5 hours. So in 2 hours, I can do 18 rounds or 20 rounds. So 2.5 hours, you know, 25 rounds I can try. So I will do 25 every day. Like that. So you fix up how many hours you can put in every day. And then you try to do it with quality. But if you choose a quantity which is going to mess up your entire schedule and, you know, neglecting children, neglecting your other responsibilities, that is not proper. Our seva has to go on. Our seva has to go on. I must admit, though, that in the last 1 month, I have not been reading and hearing much, very little, because of the japa. So, but please pray for me that I am able to get used to this sankhya and, you know, I am able to improve my reading and hearing also. So, a lot of the classes I gave, you know, without proper preparation. So, we have to balance, Mataji. I personally feel I need to really work on my balance. We have to balance our, because we cannot neglect our responsibilities to our, you know, job, our family members, kids. So you carve out a time, decide that 3 hours of bhajan I can do every day. And then in that 3 hours, you manage your japa, deity worship, your vandanam, you know, the ashtakams that you chant, the prayers that you chant. You fit them in those 3 hours. And those 3 hours, you try to do it exclusive. So, vandanam, like chanting the prayers of previous acharyas, that you can do with your children in the evening, with your family. You can do together, all of you. And japa has to be alone. It's private. So you can do that before the children wake up. That's why we do Brahma Murta japa. Deity worship also, many times I do it with the children around. So they also say, dad, which Shila? Oh, this is Keshav Shila. You know, so they also get engaged. Okay, Tulsi leaf. Dad, can you offer a Tulsi leaf to the Dwarka Shila also? Okay, like that. So they are also involved, engaged. They are also Krishna. So deity worship you can do with your family members around. Ashtakams you can do with your family members around. But japa, we have to, whatever time you fix up, based on your quantity, you do it when everybody is sleeping. That is the best, in my experience. So look at your situation, Mataji, but have hunger for improving the quality. The standard is 64, and but go slowly. And be cognizant about the quality also. Quality is very, very important. I hope this helps, Mataji.
Yes, Prabhu. It's a really, really helpful class, Prabhu. Thank you for your assistance. Thank you for your answer, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mataji. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Pranam or Goshti Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Very, very wonderful class, Prabhuji, and very nice realization. Thank you so much. It was really good.
Thank you, Shama Gauri Mataji. We will end the class here. It is 9 o'clock. I am very grateful for all of your association. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai.
Pipya Rupi Senses to all the Vaishnavas. Vancha Kalpata Rupi Hesha.
Pavasindu. Dana.
Yo
Vaishnava.
Ki Jai. Ki Jai. Srimad
Bhakti. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.